Yep. So we are continuing our series on getting rid of the toxic sin, and that's exactly what it is, of racial hatred. And we're talking about, in particular, the evolution and its origins and its impact and things of that nature. So let me get myself together here. And we're talking about evolution because it is at the root of racist, bigoted, discriminatory attitudes. And so we want to get into that. Now, we were doing some review. I know we were talking about science and what science is, and how science cannot, there's no such thing as a creation scientist or the science of creation, because science is based on observation and then verification through repetition. So you observe something and then you verify that this is a law by repeating it. Mm-hmm. But notice the first thing that science is based upon is observation. Mm-hmm. If you can't see it, then you can't verify it through repetition because you can't see it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Creation, no one saw. No one was there. We went through the various miracles that it is an impossibility to look at. Some of the miracles I didn't mention, I just mentioned just a few, but how can science explain the virgin birth? How can science explain a person who is spiritually dead coming to life and then turned on to the things of God? That's an impossibility. Those are all supernatural things. How do you explain someone being raised from the dead who had been dead for many days? How do you explain, we talked about the loaves and fishes that didn't come from a mother or father, loaves that didn't come from grain or flour. It just was made. How do you explain that? There's nothing to observe, so therefore it can't be explained. So we said we, having said that, and it's still review, we said that the theory of evolution is first and foremost a refutation or a rejection, a denial, and a contradiction of the biblical account of creation. It is a refutation, it is a denial, it is a rejection, it's a contradiction of what the Bible says about how the universe was created. It's not an explanation, it's a refutation. Then we talked about science explaining miracles because miracles are supernatural, right? Yeah. And occur or happen beyond that which we can see. You can't see a person being born again. We can't see that. Now, trying to see that is what got Charles G. Finney in trouble. He's the one who really spread, lack of a better term, the concept of mass evangelism. He's the one who really propagated, if you will, the idea of the altar call, because they wanted to see the invisible work of God. And so they are saying, well, if God is moving on a person, then we can kind of peek in on what he's doing by having them come up to the front right then. But the problem with that is that you'll get folks who are not being worked on, who God is not bringing to light, coming up to the front. That's why altar calls, which are never in the Bible, are not at all an indication of salvation. You understand that? It does not mean that God is working on a particular individual. The work of God is silent. It's invisible. Eventually, you'll see the outer work, but you'll see it when God allows you to see it. Amen. Take our lives in here. You know, remember where you come from. Remember where I come from. I can't tell you the moment, the second when this thing happened, when the Lord raised me from the dead and I began to understand his word like never before. It's an invisible work. And what Charles G. Finney misunderstood is that no matter what God is doing, unless he allows you to see what he's doing, you can't see it. And you won't know it unless he allows you to. Period. You missed that. Supernatural miracles are supernatural and are beyond the realm of observation. The greatest raising spirits from the dead to live forevermore with God, which is an incredible miracle. Outside of that, the greatest miracle is the creation of the universe and all that's in it. That's amazing. That is amazing. Done in 6 24-hour days. That's an amazing miracle. God said, God said, God said. Yeah. He just spoke. Everything was. You can observe Adam. We said this last week. 5 minutes after he was born, he was 30 years old. You say, well, he's been around for 30 years. No, I've been around here 5 minutes. I don't get it, Adam. You're not supposed to. Just believe me. I just got here. But you're a grown man. Yes, I am. You follow that? That's deep. God created everything grown. Whole. He didn't create pieces. He didn't create embryos and so forth. Adam wasn't first an embryo. Then he grew into a fetus and then whatever, how the progression is. He was a grown man, and so was Eve. Okay, did we get into a definition of evolution? Then we stopped. That's where we stopped? Mm-hmm. We did stop there? Evolution. Okay. Yeah. The process... Definite evolution, the process by which different kinds of living organisms are thought to have developed and diversified or mutated from earlier forms during the history of the earth. So you start with this and end up with this. Okay? You start with the one-celled amoeba. Coming out of the primordial ooze, how the ooze got there and how the amoeba got in there, where all that came from, that's still something in existence. And then you end up with a man. As I was talking to someone, if you read your history of biology, if you understand biology, not that I'm a biologist at all, but cells contain information. Okay? Cells contain information. So this is a cell. In the center of that cell, the nucleus, there's information. If that cell mutates, you never mutate to more information. So here's a cell, here's information in that cell. This cell mutates and breaks off into two. You never move upwards in the amount of information stored in the cell. You don't even stay the same as far as the amount of information. There's always a downgrade of information. So understanding that, then in order for evolution to be true, they're saying that the one cell eventually evolved into a complex multi-cell human being. Right, so that it mutated upward and it gained information all the way to that it could hold the information enough to contain a human being. That is a human being is the most complex being in existence. But even secular, non-saved, or none about God biologists will tell you that whenever things mutate, they don't mutate upward. In other words, they don't gain information to become something else. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. And I hope not too much more, but regarding the impossibility of evolution. Let's talk about the root of this. Where did all this come from? The theory, the roots of the theory of evolution. And I'm quoting from the book One Blood, One Race, something like that, A Biblical Perspective of Race, something like that. I told you about by Ham, help me, Batten. And Whelan, something like that. Those three guys. Quote, this is the root of it. And I'm being a big technical. The root of racism, spiritually speaking, is atheism. That's the root of it. That's spiritually speaking. Root of it is we don't believe there's a God. And now that we don't believe that there's a God, now we got to come up with a way to explain how did all this get here. If God didn't do it, then how did all this get here? Because all of this is here. Sun, moon, stars, grass, blades, dirt. It's all here, people, skin. So we want to throw God out of the picture. We got to come up with something. So at the root of it, spiritually speaking, is atheism. Because if you believe that there's a God, then for the most part, even though at least the beginning roots, now you got knuckleheads who supposedly are Christians, and I say supposedly. Now, I don't know how you can be a Christian and believe in evolution. I don't understand those two. But the roots of the early parts of the theory of evolution come from atheism. All right, quote, and I love their analogy. Quote, Charles Darwin, garden was planted in very thin soil, talking about the theory of evolution. Act like it's a garden with thin soil. But no one knew that at the time. The theory of evolution seemed to coincide with accepted scientific facts of the day, key phrase, of the day. And by the way, this day is in the early 1800s, but stemming back into the late 1700s. So you're talking about the late 18th century, the late 1700s, on into the 19th century or the 1800s, down in there. This is that day. Particularly among the secularists who had abandoned the truth of Scripture. That's a key phrase. You have abandoned the truth of Scripture, therefore you open yourselves up to whatever. And believe me, that's how so-called Christians are getting caught up. They are abandoning the truth of Scripture. And when you walk away from truth, what are you going to walk into? Lies. Right? When you abandon something, usually you're walking away from it. You're moving away from it. Well, you don't move away from truth into nothing. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you move from truth to lies. So realize that. Just like when a person walks away from God, then he's walking towards Satan. You've been taught this clearly. The Word of God teaches us it's black and white. It really is. It's God or Satan. You're of your father, the devil, or God is your father. You're a child of Satan. Or you're a child of God. There is no in between. So when they abandoned the truth of Scripture, then they decided to believe a lie. That's the root of it. Abandoning the truth of Scripture. Let's read on. When Darwin jumped on the Beagle, the famous ship that would take him to exotic locales of the world, some of his basic ideas about evolution were already intact. Stop. Let's explain that. The Beagle was the ship that he boarded. He was on that ship for 5 years. He sailed around the world seeing all kinds of things. Okay, you follow that? On the ship, the Beagle. But I want you to know that evolution did not begin with Darwin. And I didn't know that. Remember we mentioned this, the day was the late 1700s. This is what Darwin's part is. This is in 1800s, right? 1820s, 30s, somewhere in there. Well, in the late 1700s, They'd already begun this theory already. It was already in motion. And he really hopped on the beagle to really prove what he had already heard was going around in that day. Do you understand that? Satan is the most cunning beast of the field. He's real sneaky. Real sneaky. One of my favorite little examples to use in real life is the macaroni, something, the peas all soggy and the chicken just tastes like wood. Remember the Sugar Hill Gang? And what was the name of that song? I don't know, Sugar Hill. It might be Sugar Hill, I don't know. But whatever the name of that song was, that was like one of the early, early rap songs in the late 80s. And we just laughed and ha 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 ha, you know, chicken that tastes like wood, you know, the macaroni soggy, the peas all mushy. You know, man, that dude can't cook. And we laughed, right? But what did all that simple rap ha ha lead to? Lord have mercy. Sexism, racism, policism, hating police, just nasty, vile thug life. Vile. I'll show you this, haha. Mm-hmm. But I'm really gonna get it to this. Yes. The dark side of rap. The dark side of hip hop. I don't know why anybody who names the name of Jesus won't even use that phrase in their like hip hop Sunday. Why would you put hip hop with anything next to Lord Jesus Christ? Knowing what hip hop represents. Okay, that's another teaching. Lord have mercy. Keep praying for Miss April. We just don't see, it just seems like the pastors turn their brains off because they just want to be loved. Just love me and be accepted. I hate that. This ain't no club. This is not no fraternity. We're not running for public office. If they hate you, they hate you. We already read on Sunday, they gonna hate you. Yeah. And if they don't hate you, that's a problem. I mean, you ain't doing something right. He said, marvel not if the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. Why? Because I went out of the world, you're not of this world. They ain't gonna like you. So drop your hip hop Sunday, please. Just teach the word of God and empty out the church. Then let everybody go. Then they need to be there anyway.
Amen.
Just like the disciples that when Jesus, I explained this way. When he on purpose spoke this separating message, that's what I use that phrase because that's exactly what it was. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. He knew that this guy crazy because they were thinking literally drink his blood, eat his flesh. They were thinking of cannibalism. And 70 book. That would have been everybody in this church plus five more people. None of my chairs left. They booked. I'm gone. He's crazy. We need more preaching like that. We need more preachers like that. Because you're abandoning the truth and you're teaching lies. Or half truths. Partial truths. In the name of entertainment and entertainment and what's the other E word that I use? Entertainment and
expressions.
That's expression is good, but isn't
emotion?
Yes, thank you. Emotions and entertainment. Get them hyped and entertain them. Let them feel good when they go out of here. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen? Not let alone Monday morning. What about Sunday night? Yeah. Sunday night does come. Sunday, yeah. Some cases Sunday afternoon. Let's entertain them. Get them emotional. Back to the beagle. So you understand he was not the originator of evolution. It came through Satan and he used Charles Darwin as a disciple to really put it out there. But it was already in the workings probably about 30, 40, 50 years before Darwin came along. He was on that ship to prove the lie that was already being told by Satan through other scientists who were atheists. So he was on this ship, and I told you he was on the ship for 5 years, which took him to the more exotic locales of the world and to prove some of the basic ideas that were already intact. He already believed in an earth that was millions of years old and had already abandoned his faith in a creator. You maybe don't know. At one point, Charles Darwin did believe in God. That's something I didn't know either. He did believe in God. And he abandoned his faith. Remember, when you walk away from the truth, you're walking toward lies. And that's exactly what we see here. And as he sailed around the world, he began to notice different types, I'm still quoting from the book, of animals. Animals that shared similarities, but also showed great variety, depending on where they happened to live. He also noticed that some animals with close similarities also live in close proximity to each other. He began to theorize. I put that in dark, in bold print. He began to what? Theorize. Not that he turned to the Word of God and this is what. He began to theorize that all life began from a single living creature, and that over much time this animal changed or evolved into something more complex. That's what he began to theorize. I don't understand how that brought about that theory. Because it said he saw animals that looked some of the same and some that looked different. We see that today. But he began to theorize that all life began from a single living creature. Over much time, Darwin's theory said that different kinds of animals branched off and became something totally different. All this is theory. That's all it is. And it's still called the theory of evolution. Keep reading. I don't mind. When you find somebody said better than you, keep reading. Quote, ideas are like seeds, period. That's a great statement. They might seem small. They might seem insignificant. They might even go unnoticed by all except those who hold them in the moment. But left there be no doubt. Both ideas and seeds are incredibly powerful. Because while he was on that boat, it was just a theory. It was just a seed. But boy, oh boy, if you take that seed to the hearts and plant them in the hearts of those who will listen to you, if there be no doubt, both ideas and seeds are incredibly powerful. From seeds dropped in fertile ground grow the mighty oaks that anchor the land. Listen to that. Altering the course of the rivers and wind. And from ideas planted in the fertile soil of the human mind grow the thoughts and convictions of mankind. Altering the course of history for the world and the individual. That's why we're talking about evolution. I'm going to read that again. That's why. Because it altered the course. It changed it. Got folk to believe that you came from a certain type of a primate. The black man came from the gorilla. The Asian came from the chimpanzee. Smarter. And this one came from this one. All because of evolution. No evolution, you don't think that nonsense. He said, ideas are like seeds. They may seem small. They may seem insignificant. They may even go unnoticed. From seeds dropped in fertile ground grow the mighty oaks that anchor the land. That's what exactly what evolution is, a mighty oak that anchors the land. And from ideas planted in the fertile soil of the mind grow the thoughts and convictions of mankind, altering the course of history for the world and the individual. History has been altered all from a theory. Quote, in the mid-1800s, as a sailing ship, Beagle, cut through the oceans, a theologian and amateur biologist was formulating an idea. Without the insight of modern-day genetics and supported by superficial observation, meaning just looking from the outside, superficial surface observation, nothing deep, just what I see, that's what I'm believing. So I talk about the oak. You cut that tree, 5 minutes after God created it, you're going to see all the rings. Superficial observation says each ring is for a year. Oak been there 5 minutes. You count the rings, it says been there for 20,000 years. Been there 5 minutes. Superficial observations. Keep hold of that. No scientific evidence. No genetics. Just superficial observation. His ideas began to solidify into a theory. But notice it wasn't even a theory. First, it was just ideas based on superficial observation. The theory of evolution. In his history-altering book, The Origin of the Species. Remember we talked about that? And really the rest of that is something like the something about the favored races. The full title of that book. Charles Darwin conceptualized a world where life spontaneously came into being and then changed over time by the forces of nature into the phenomenal complexity and diversity of life we now see on this planet. Again, the single cell coming into a multi-billion-celled human being. Each cell with complex information in each cell, and you contain billions of those cells coming from one cell. That would take billions of years. That's why the Earth is now up to 4.5 billion years old and the universe is up to 13.5 billion years because they had to keep raising up the thing because it's, well, that take a little longer than what we thought. Now, when I was in school, the Earth was millions of years old. Now it's up to billions. They had to keep growing it because it's not worth taking more time. You cut through the Grand Canyon, see all that? There had to be billions. Now we got to add a few more billions. So now we're up to 4.5 billion for the Earth, 13.5 billion for the universe. So what they're saying is that when that bang happened, in order for us to spread out to where we are now, it took so many years. But then for the whole universe, that took even more years. Because the Earth is here, and the rest of the universe is spread beyond that. So that took about 10 more billion years for that to happen. All from a theory. It's an incredible, even going through this is just incredible that anybody believed this. When the guy who started had no genetics, he was just looking from the outside. And many non-Christian scientists have said this is an impossibility. That's why you heard of something called ID, intelligent design. Still not giving God the props, but they said the theory of evolution is ridiculous. Somebody had to put this thing together. There's a designer behind this design. We ain't going to say it's God. So they call it ID, intelligent design. Still not giving God the glory, but they understand that, you know, it can't be just as random as what you're talking about, dude. That's crazy. These are secular, non-Christian scientists rebuking the theory of evolution. Like a seed, the idea was firmly planted in Charles' mind, where it began to grow and mature. Through his writings and lectures, the seed then became planted in the minds of others. Soon the theory had taken root in gardens of the scientific community. Blown by the winds of society, the idea of evolution found its way into the fields of the education systems of the young. And that's where you nested. That's where you tear it on up right there. That's it. Now we got it. Now we get it. Now we can really promulgate this lot easy now. Now we got to the young people now. I first heard of it in school. Not at home, mother. None of them teach us no junk like that. First heard about it in school. its seed spread into the laws of government. Yeah, didn't we talk about that with slavery? Not only as soon enough, its roots began to infiltrate the mind of the church. I was about to say that was next. Where it began to choke out the faith many held in the word of God. In time, this single idea overtook almost the entire garden of Western thinking. When we say ideas and thoughts are dangerous, I mean that. That's why you got your little Sid and little Ezra and all your little people. What's your little man's name? Harlan. You watch out. And all your little peoples, you sit them down, listen to what they're saying, see what they're watching, listen to their conversation. When them little people are talking, listen to their conversation. All your little people, what's little? Thank you. Thank you. They smart. You listen to what they're saying. They're bright. They'll believe that junk if they don't know. You watch some programs because they'll slip some evolution on them in a minute. Them little cartoonist programs. Ain't that cute? No, it ain't. Papa, why are you throwing the TV out the window? Because I don't want you watching that. And I don't care if you got to be that dramatic. It's not cute. This is a great teaching on what a little lie did. And the winds blew. They blew right up into the schools and unfortunately into the church. You got theistic evolutionists. We'll get to that. Now that's just crazy. That's ridiculous. How you gonna believe in God and evolution? I'll tell you how they believe. We'll get to that, but it didn't take long for the fruit of this garden to begin to ripen. Nowhere has this been more obvious than in the area of racism, which is where we're coming all the way down to. While Darwin himself probably never imagined the impact his idea would have on the culturally diverse peoples of the earth, history has shown us how evolutionary thought fuels racism and how racists use evolution to justify their hatred for those who are different than they are. Do you understand why we're talking about evolution? Blew through the scientific community, blew eventually through the schools, down to the young, blew through the churches, blew into the laws of the legislature, blew right into the hearts of black and white. There we find the great divide. To justify your beliefs. We're almost soon, we'll stop here. Quote, several years ago in Australia, I was having a conversation with a Bible college student. Hint, Bible college student. I just straight sent him. He declared that missionaries should not waste their time preaching to the Australian Aborigines, right? Those were the original, like black people in Australia, like we would say the Native American here. Don't waste your time, a Bible student. He believed they were not of Adam's race, it comes from evolution, and therefore could not be saved. What the Jews thought, remember they said salvation is of the Jews. Oh, yeah. Told Jesus that. Same thing. Racism ain't new. The disciples, the people, they were racist. The Jews were racist. Way back in Jesus' day, they got the Savior there, the creator of all people groups, standing right in their midst, and they telling them, salvation is of the Jews. Ain't for nobody else but us. We believe they cannot be saved. His attitude was not unusual. That's sad. Over the centuries, some missionaries have not seen the need to take the gospel to primitive tribes because they are not considered sufficiently human on the evolutionary scale. Evolution, they're considered,
somewhere I read in the Bible, I think it was Revelation. And they said of every tongue and tribe and people and nation, every tribe. That means of this tribe. That he figured no need to bother them with them. You see what I'm saying? When you walk away from the truth, you walk away to a lie. The word of God says a representative of every tribe is going to be in heaven. There is no tribe too primitive to receive the word of God, because it is God that raises from the dead the spirit of that particular individual. Finishing up. One professor in the 1880s wrote, "I consider the Negro to be a lower species of man and cannot make up my mind." Quote, "I consider the Negro to be a lower species of man and cannot make up my mind to look upon him as a man and a brother. For the gorilla would then also have to be admitted into the family." End quote. That's crazy. If I accept the Negro, I gotta accept the gorilla. That's all evolution. These are supposedly men and women of God. That's why we're going into it for a minute, then we'll get out of it. But I want you to dig in there and see. Now, I don't know what black folk or white folk, young white people, black people, blue, brown, red people think today about where they come from. Do they even know it? Do they think it through? I don't know. I wonder. The battle for the beginning. I can see why John MacArthur entitled Genesis 1, 2, and 3, "The Battle for the Beginning," because it is a battle. Because once you throw God out of the picture, you put anybody else up in there, then the battle is on. Getting rid of God. Father God, thank you for your word. Your word says, in the beginning, you created the heavens and the earth. In other words, the universe and all that's in it. Every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every grain of dirt, every piece of skin, every brain cell, every species, every molecule, every atom. There's not one, as quoting Dr. R.C. Sproul, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, there is not one rogue molecule that exists in the earth. Not one rogue molecule, meaning there's not one molecule out here with a mind of its own. It's just going to do whatever it wants to do. But all the other trillions and trillions of molecules are all under God's control except one. No, God is in so much control that every single molecule is under his control. Every single atom, every single nucleus. Thank you, Jesus is right. You are in full control. And everything is being done for your sake, for your own sake, for your own sake. You're acting. And we thank you for it in the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And we say, thank God.
Thank God.
And amen.